So, my name is Rowan Hutchinson. I'm 16 years old. Today is November 20... Is it the 23rd?
Fourth, yeah.
November 24th, 2018. And I'm speaking with Shelly Glandon, who is my girlfriend's foster mother. And also here is Anya Glandon, who is my girlfriend. We are in Oskaloosa, Iowa. So, I'm just going to go into the questions. My first question is, can you tell me a little bit about what you were like as a kid?
I was the oldest of four children. I grew up in a, for the most part, a single mom home. We didn't have a lot of money, but we had a lot of love, and my mom cooked, like, all the time. So yeah. There was tons of food, and we had a lot of family around, and we grew up camping. We didn't know we were poor. We didn't have money, but we didn't know we were poor. I had a very happy childhood.
Mm-hmm. And how is your life different now than how you imagined it would be when you were younger?
The only thing I ever remember, like, wanting to be was a Dallas Cowboy cheerleader, which did not happen, unfortunately. But I guess I never really, like, had big dreams or aspirations of what I would be. I just wanted to be a good mom and a good wife. So since I was married for 20 years, I felt like I was a good wife.
Uh-huh.
And, I mean, I suppose you could ask my kids. I feel like I was a good mom or that I do, you know, I still continue that now. So
yeah.
I guess I didn't really know what to expect as far as how my life would be as an adult. I just kind of like to just live every day and see how it goes.
Yeah, see how it takes you. Yeah, I think that's smart. And then, why did you decide to become a foster parent?
I found out that my niece was in foster care.
Mm-hmm.
And we did not want her in foster care. She was supposed to be living with a relative. So when we found out that she was in foster care, we decided to take the foster care classes, my mom and I did, so that she could live with us in foster care. My children, when they were little, always told me I should do foster care, because we always had different kids in and out of our house. Like, my nieces and nephews lived with us for a little while, and then they went back to their parents, and then, you know, different friends of the kids would come and stay for a little while. And so my kids were always like, you should do foster care. But I really kind of just wanted to concentrate on raising my own kids mm-hmm. and giving them the time and attention that they needed. And then, so when my niece was in foster care, like I said, we took the classes, and then I kind of liked it, and it kind of made me, it fulfilled a void that I had, you know, like, it's something I feel like God picked for me to do, because I have a ton of patience, and so I just... That's why I continue to do it.
Yeah, I definitely can see that, like, you have a lot of patience, because it takes a lot of patience. We just saw it with Ayla.
Yes, tons of patience.
Yeah.
I mean, she has legitimate feelings, you know, like, she's extremely tired. We had a lot going on today, so.
Thanksgiving.
So overstimulated, mm-hmm. and she likes her naps. She don't want to take one. But she does like them when she has them, so...
She's all quiet now.
Yeah, no, she's good.
So, yeah. And then, how has being a parent changed you?
I think that being a parent gave me purpose. Like, a reason for being here.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that it's, like, it makes you see things from a different point of view. Like, it's not all about you.
Uh-huh.
So when you become a parent, then another human being depends on you for their emotional needs, their mental needs, their physical needs, their health needs. I mean, all those depend on you getting them for them. And then their mental growth, their emotional growth, not so much their physical growth, because... That's DNA for the most part. But some physical growth is still up to you, because it's how you feed your kids, what food do you provide in the home. You know, I mean, if you have a lot of junk food in your home, that's what they're going to turn to.
Mm-hmm.
if you fry everything, and I am not a health nut by any means, I mean, you can tell, but if you at least provide some different options for kids, they're not going to just turn to that junk food. And then, like, also, it has taught me, like, about emotional well-being. Food revolves around that.
Yeah.
And so, if you teach kids to problem solve and not turn to food for their emotional well-being, then you're liable to have healthier kids.
Yeah. And generally happier, I'd say, as well. Yes,
emotionally, physically, and, you know, they'll just be happier.
Yeah, has being a foster parent been different than with your biological kids and with your adoptive, with Ayla as well?
I think that, like, when you do foster care, like, I think to be a good foster parent, there shouldn't be a whole lot of difference.
Yeah,
The thing that's different for me is, like, my kids' issues were my fault. Or, you know what I mean? Like, you created that problem. So whereas when a foster kid comes in your home, learning each kid as an individual and not, like, lumping them into one, you know, like, well, this is my house, my rules, you're just going to follow them. Learning, like, why a kid lies or why a kid acts out. You know, nobody wants to come live with you.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like they say, oh, let's, you know, it'd be fun, let's go live with some lady I don't know.
Yeah.
In a house I don't know.
After being in a shelter.
Yeah. And so you really have to treat each kid as an individual. So it is different in that aspect because your kids know your house, your rules, your mannerisms, your behaviors, your emotional states. From day one.
Uh-huh.
Whereas a foster kid has to come in and learn all over again. And they don't want to.
Yeah.
They don't want to learn those things.
Especially if you're coming from a bad situation.
Yeah.
I feel like it's like nature versus nurture in that sense.
Well, they don't. They all come from bad situations, unfortunately.
Yeah,
you know?
That's...
And then, like, one thing with the last foster kid would be, you know, how long do I have to pay for the mistakes that your biological mom made?
Yeah.
You know, because that's hard because there were times when she would, you know, act out or get frustrated towards me, not because of anything I even did, but because of what her past was. So you don't have to teach your kids that, you know, because they'll say, well, it's your fault. You know, it's your fault to act like this. What's your rebuttal there? You don't have one. Whereas when she says... You know, well, I'm not comfortable with this. Okay, well, then let's talk about why you're not comfortable with it. You know, so you can actually almost work better sometimes with a foster kid than you can your own kids because they're right. You know, like, my middle daughter is, like, the spitting image of me. So, therefore, we tend to butt heads but love harder sometimes than my other two kids. We rarely do I have tiffs with my other two kids.
Yeah.
But Alec and I have butt heads on a regular basis because we're a lot alike.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think there's a lot of difference per se in, like, my amount of love.
Yeah.
It's more about your kids trust you from day one. These kids have to learn to trust you.
Mm. You know, which is a different process.
That's the biggest difference. Yeah, because I don't understand that.
Yeah.
I mean, I know what I'm saying is right. Why don't you know what I'm saying is right? You know, like, I just naturally speak.
Yeah, and I feel like it's easier to understand, like, in a way it's almost easier to understand, like, because you were saying, like, you and Alec are so similar, it's easier for you to probably understand her
than
it is to understand, you know, Anya.
Well, absolutely, because I didn't live with her.
Uh-huh.
And some of what when foster kids come in, some of what they tell you is not always true either.
Yeah.
Some of the things that she can say happen, and I'm just using her for an example, so I'm not saying that what she told me was not the truth, but some of what she could say can either be exasperated by social workers or therapist or herself, because when you want somebody to feel sorry for you, or that's what you've known, is I need to act in this manner so that they'll do this, or I'll get this. Or, like, one thing she was really good at is if there was any form of confrontation, she would just shut down and cry.
Uh-huh.
Because then she thinks people will leave her alone. Well, if I'm crying, I don't have to answer the questions. I don't have to deal with that. Well, that doesn't work for me. Yeah. That doesn't work here. Why are you crying? I mean, I bet I probably asked her that
so many times
in the first time. Why are you crying? And sometimes she really didn't know. Like when she says, I don't know, she really didn't know. Okay, then there's no reason to cry, you know?
Yeah.
So let's figure out why you're crying. What is it that's triggering your crying? You know? I know why she's throwing her fit.
She doesn't want to clean up.
She don't want to clean up. But look what happened.
She cleaned up.
Nobody had to get beat. You know? I mean, I'm a huge person against, like, I do not think that kids have to have spankings.
Yeah.
To follow rules. I just don't. I mean, I think that there's warning, you know, like a warning swat on the butt. You run out in the road, I'm going to swat you on the butt. That's going to happen.
Yeah.
You could have died.
And they might, and they'll understand that one better.
Right.
Yeah.
It's better to understand, okay, well, she swatted me on the butt because I almost ran out the road and almost got hit by a car then.
Whereas if it's just an emotional fit that you're throwing, most parents would not sit there and explain the 5 times, you know, okay, I have now told you 6 times to go to your room. Should I have to tell you 6 times to go to your room? But this whole time that she's just shutting herself down and wanting to scream, I'm still making her think. Why is mommy had to tell me 6 times? She should have told me 6 times. But I don't want to put them on there.
Yeah, I think it's better to let the kids
make decisions. Yeah, and make decisions.
And think for themselves. Mm-hmm. Than just, you know, have an immediate punishment, you know, think out why this is happening.
What good would it have done me if she didn't listen the first 2 or 3 times I told her good morning? Would I have felt better if I swatted her?
No.
Would she have learned anything from
that? No.
Definitely not.
Just that mom's mean. You know, I mean, that's what I feel like kids feel like, that's just mean. And so she's not learning anything from that form of punishment. But anyway, so that was kind of a long roundabout thing.
Yeah.
How it's different with your kids and foster kids. But I think the love should be the same. I think that if you are doing foster care or not doing foster care because you're afraid you'll get attached, I absolutely get attached to every kid that comes into this house. I still think about the ones that are not here and wonder how they're doing and, you know, what's going on in their life and whatever. Did I do enough to help them? Some I don't have enough time to help them. They're only here for 4 months.
Mm-hmm.
I don't feel like that's enough time, you know, to make a difference. That's where I think the system is flawed, because you have 18 years with your own kids, plus some, because I still...
Yeah, you know, we saw all your kids today.
I still parent my kids, you know, and so... And I still let them know, and like, when I'm disappointed or, you know, whatever. But I still love the foster kids the same as I love my own kids, whether they're my blood or not, because I think that that's what kids need. I think kids need to feel love. And love can come in many, many different feelings.
Yeah.
I mean, it could really just... One time she was struggling at a meeting, and I was struggling at the same meeting, and I just, like, tapped her on the leg under the table. And she felt that, you know, I was on her side at that point. That was love. That was, okay, Shelly's here for me. We'll get through this together. So it doesn't have to be like grand things like, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you. You know, simple little things like her birthday. She hadn't even been here very long.
Less than a month.
Less than a month. And then, you know, she was like, this is the best birthday I've ever had. And to me, I hadn't done anything except for make her feel like that was her day, all day long, from the time she got up in the morning. And it was simple little things like I put a note on the door, on the front door, on her door, and did I don't know if it was the TV. I put like 3 notes up.
Yes.
That said, happy birthday. You know, just on regular notebook paper. I didn't spend a ton of money, you know. But she knew from the time she got up until the time we got ready for bed that that day was about her. She went to school. She went to a church function thing. And in between school and the church function, she got to open another present. And then when she got home from the church thing, we had a small cake and ice cream. You know, so the whole day, she felt somebody cared about her.
Yeah.
Even if it wasn't her mom at the time. Because that was hard.
Yeah.
You know, and so...
I remember the first time she said to me she referred to you as mom, and I was so happy. Like, oh, I was like, I'm so proud of you. Yeah, it was. I remember that.
Well, and that's why I say, like, yeah. I want all my kids to do good things. You know, like, I want my own children to go out in the world and do things that help other people. And so if you want your kids to do that, you should lead by example.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, they're always going to remember how you lived your life. And they'll either go one way or the other. You know, I mean, if you live with an alcoholic father or, you know, an abusive mom,
mm-hmm.
you could become an abusive mom. Or you could be like, I'm not going to treat my kids the way that my mom treated me. So people tend to go one way or the other. But I think if you live and lead by example, your kids should learn from that. And if they don't, then you should be like, hey, is that a good choice?
Uh-huh.
Would I have made that choice? You know, because people will say, we only get one mom. Well, talk to all these foster kids out there, because you don't just get one mom. Okay, you get one life. And what you choose to do with that life is up to you. And everybody deserves to have a good life.
Mm-hmm.
So part of that becomes your responsibility too, even as a kid, to make your life better. Whether this person decides to just sit back and flounder in the water or whatever they're doing, if they don't want to better themselves, that's not on them. You better yourself. Because it's all about, like, paying it forward and making a better life.
Like you were saying last night. I thought I really liked that sentiment. I'll just repeat it for this. But, like, last night when you're like, what, you know, people always say, you know, I'm so thankful, I can't thank you enough. Yeah. And it's like, how you thank me is you pay it forward and you affect one more person.
Yeah, and even one more. You know, you don't have to change the world. When I was younger, I wanted to be like, I want to go big mission trips, you know, because I thought that was important. Let's go on big mission trips because, you know, you want to save the world. Well, I feel like now what God has decided for me is you don't have to go on big mission trips. There's missions for me to do here, and it's one or two sometimes kids at a time. You know, you don't have to take six kids in. If each good family would take one foster kid in, it's hard. It's very hard.
Yeah.
But if you just would take one and concentrate on just that one kid, then you could do so much good.
I know, because it's, help those kids. Know, it's not just Anya's life that you're affecting. Right. I know Anya is like, can then pay that forward and help other people. We're doing the interview, Ayla.
Yep, it's the interview, honey.
It's the interview. She's so cute. Okay, next question.
Yeah, we took a long time.
It was a good question, though. This one's pretty simple. I said, what's one of your favorite memories of Anya?
Oh, my goodness. Okay.
Oh, boy. I want to hear this one.
I want to hear it, too.
Well, I have several good memories, okay? And the funny thing with me is sometimes the bad memories make good memories.
Yeah.
Because you can't have the good memories without the bad memories, okay? Because you can't just always have a bad life without appreciating the good, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so, like, I think for me, one of my best memories, though, is when I could actually see her coming out of her shell and, and like, appreciating who she is. Because that makes me proud, you know, to see, like, her personal growth. So, like, when the way she used to dress.
Yeah.
And the way she presented herself is 100% different than now. And so, like, if I would take her to a family function or in public or whatever, like, her head would be down. If people spoke to her, she did not barely speak back. If she did, she did not make eye contact. But now, like, it's super cute because, like, she'll say things that are very confident. You know what I mean? Like, so I don't have, like, one specific memory. It's just my very proudest moment probably was, like I said, when she, and I could physically see her. And I'm not talking about the weight loss. I'm not talking about that at all. Uh-huh. That's just came with it. But for her to gain her self-confidence back, that's probably been my best memory.
I feel that. I feel that. Yeah. Yeah, I agree. What are you proudest of personally or professionally in your life?
Personally, I am always proudest of my kids. Mm-hmm. Their accomplishments, their personalities, the way that they treat other people, you know, like when people in the community say to me, oh, I went down to Summerland and bought a couch from your son. He is such a nice kid. So that's what makes me proud, that I did a good job with those kids and that God continues to let me help other kids. And those are my kids, you know, that I'm going to be able to continue to make a difference. That's probably my biggest accomplishment. Professionally, I really don't have, like, something that I'm super proud of. Like, yeah. I just think I work because I have to.
Yeah.
People have to work. Okay, so there's not been, like, oh, I got my master's degree in this, or, you know, I mean, I don't care about that. Like, I care that people are good people. So, professionally, I don't really have one. So, I'm sorry. I don't have one.
Yeah, I understand that. I was not expecting. I forgot that part of the question.
But that's okay. I mean, that's a good question. Because some people are very proud of, well, I'm a boss here, or I'm this, or, you know, whatever. If I have to give an answer, I would say I'm happy that I'm able to walk around and touch people's lives in the community and get paid for it.
Yeah.
Because I do that. Like, I have people I help on my route every day. There's a handicapped guy who I take his mail into him every day. And he stocks Mountain Dew in the fridge for me. So I go in, I bring his mail, put it on his desk, and then go get a pop. You know?
Yeah.
So that's what I'm proud of, that I have a job that I'm able to touch people's lives daily.
Yeah, I can see that that's, like, really important to you. It is. And it's, like, really admirable. Yeah.
It's what I love. It's what I do.
Yeah. Okay. And then, what are you most grateful for?
My patience.
Yeah.
Very short, sweet, and simple. Yes.
My patience. I am very grateful that God blessed me with the patience and understanding that not everybody's the same, even though sometimes I want everybody to act like me, and that's a downfall that I have. I want everybody, like, I want to fix everybody.
Yeah.
And so, like, if I tell her, someday you should go talk to other kids that are, you know, in foster care. Mm-hmm. Like, maybe you could go to the shelter and talk to kids and tell them, hey, you know, all the things that I've taught her, I want her to teach other kids. Because sometimes it's not easy coming from an adult. Like, what does she know?
Yeah.
She don't know. You've been a teenager forever. You don't know. I do know. I do understand that things are hard. And, you know, like, and I think that it's, like, it's super hard for me to say things with a, like, white gloves, or I don't coddle. You know, I don't. So sometimes people, like, think that I'm rude because I say things like I mean them and I mean what I say.
Yeah.
So that's sometimes hard for people to understand if they don't know me. Like, everybody that knows me, like, they appreciate it, you know, like...
Yeah, I know she appreciates it a lot.
Well, I'm like, if you don't want to know the truth, do not ask me.
Yes.
Because, girl, it's going to come out, like, probably rude.
Yeah.
You know, like, Shelly, do you like my hair today or whatever? She knows if she asks me if I like her hair, I'm going to tell her the truth. Whether it looks, if I, I'm like, oh, what did you put that, remember that one style thing that you were trying to do?
Yes, it was the apple.
Oh, like the apple.
Like Bibi had. Yeah. And Olivia had.
And I was so, like, I wouldn't wear it, but
yeah.
If it's a, you know, if it's a thing for you guys.
The kids.
Yeah, if it's a kid, yeah. You know, and so if she was wearing the wrong shoes with her outfit, I would tell her. I'm not trying to be mean. And she knows that about me now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But, like, if you don't know me, those things might appear rude.
Yeah.
But I think right now we're raising kids into society because we coddle everybody. Oh, don't talk to her like that because, you know, her parents got divorced 6 years ago. I don't care. You don't get to act like a jerk because your parents got divorced 6 years ago.
I know.
You don't.
Some people have had worse.
Oh, my gosh. Like, but okay.
And I feel like the worse people have it, the more they realize it's not a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
They're the ones who go through life not coddling.
Yeah.
They've realized. But it's the ones who have had those little things that they think that they can use it as, like, a trap card and be like, well, now you can't do this because this happened.
Feel sorry for me.
Because I broke my leg last year. Yeah. Yeah, I totally get that. Okay. I think that's it for now, but thank you, Shelly.
Well, I got lots of other things to say.
As much as you want to say.
I got lots of things
As much
to
as
say.
You want to say, I mean... We have they'll let us record for another 18 minutes.
Well, we don't have to record. We don't have to talk about it on here.
Yeah. But thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you for
asking. Thank you. Okay.
Yeah.